through the evening, the elders believed it just appropriate to take some time that we could focus on our God, on what He would have us to do, ask as a body for His insight and His guidance along the way. So through the course of the next 55 minutes or so, we will be focusing in four specific areas. And in each one of those, one of the shepherds will be involved in leading us before God on a specific topic. We'll start in just a minute with a prayer just about our hearts as we approach God's throne, and some time spent for each of us to be able to seek God's help in making our hearts what He would have them to be, for forgiveness, for purity, for understanding, ability to accept His will along the way. Dan's going to lead us in that section in a minute. Then we'll take a few minutes to spend in a time of thanksgiving prayer, time of thanking God for the goodness He has done. And if you've been outside at all today, there's a lot to be thankful for in the beauty of His creation around us, lots to be thankful for in this body, lots to be thankful for in a lot of different areas, but we'll spend some time there. Jerry's going to lead that part. Tom will next come and lead us in a section that has to do with praying for the lost, for the folks that live in the area whose lives we touch in different ways that don't know God, and that God would long to have a relationship with, that we'd long to have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then the last of these four areas that we'll spend time in prayer and meditation for has to do with our direction as a fellowship and as a body. And Ray will lead us in that part of the prayer as we ask God's wisdom, His insight, His direction in those. Through each of those four sections, they'll follow kind of a similar pattern. We'll have a song, a scripture perhaps, to help focus our minds on those short period of silent prayer. That's for all of us as a body to be able to engage in that. And then the four shepherds that I mentioned will come and close out that topic with a prayer for the body on that area. But to get started, we want to take a few minutes to think about individuals in our body who are going through difficulty or illness or loss or other things, and start off with just a prayer, a collective prayer on their behalf. Tommy has back there, if you hit B, Tommy, you hit B, that's what we get. But there's a list up there that was the updated list from Sunday morning of prayer requests. It's not necessarily complete, but it has a number of folks from our body and our fellowship and community for which prayers have been.
Don't see clearly. That's why I wear these. Same with Doyle McConnell. But my Savior said that there's got to be some clarity if I'm going to see my God. He said, there's a blessing to those that have purity in their heart, and they'll be able to see God. I want to see Him. I want to see Him. I want to see Him. I don't want this, my vision, something, some dirtiness, something that keeps me from seeing my God. And I'm told that I need a pure heart. My heart needs to be pure. And I know how Dan's heart is. On its own, it's not pure. But thanks be to God in heaven, He's sent the one that can make it. So this purification can take place in me
and can take place in us too.
Jesus Christ did this for each of us.
He makes it so this purity is available. But I don't live like it. I don't live like it. And it seems like the process of me living like I should live and getting in tune with what my God wants me to be in tune with
is short-circuited because I forget
this Jesus, this one that God sent, so that
my heart could be made pure. My heart could be made pure. I need it. I recognize I need it.
A reminder, this book, it too helps in that purification process. It washes and regenerates.
But you know where the failure is, don't you?
When I'm not in it. The failure is when I forget
who redeemed me.
And the failure is when I'm not here. And that's to Dan's saying, and that's to this church body. Now, all of this, whether we like it or not, requires change in us. It is. Because this filthiness that keeps me from seeing my God, from having this pure heart, has got to be it's got to be recognized and it's got to be dealt with. It's doable. It's doable. God says it was. He thought we were worth it. He gave the best of heaven. But it requires work on our part. It requires the greatest amount of work on my part. Oh, for a pure heart. David cried that out, didn't he? We've been looking at David and, well, he was in the middle of all kinds of sin. And what prompted him to say, God, create this pure heart in me again. I miss it. This dirt's keeping me from seeing you. And in Psalms 24, it says, what man can go up to church, if you please, except the man that's got clean hands and a pure heart, or woman, dear. I want a pure heart. I want a pure heart. I believe that is the thought and the intent of this church body. That's what we're to be about. That's what we're to be about. Let's pray in that direction, please. Father, we acknowledge our weakness. And we're so thankful that you know what we need and you've made it so that we can approach you, that there can be purity, there can be cleanness in us, that we can feel that on the inside. We thank you so much for that. And we would ask you, Father, that when we don't live our lives expressing this purity that our Savior has shown us, Father, when our kindness is not as kind as it should be, when our patience is gone, when we are not considerate of each other, when we stumble at forgiveness, Father, work on our hearts that they may be pure, that we may be changed, that we may want to be changed, Father. And this is the prayer for Dan Sane. This is the prayer for this fellowship. It's in the name of Jesus that I and we pray. Amen.
Well, David sent our assignment for this evening. And with me, he said, say something about being thankful. And it was later at night when I got the email. So after a day, my mind started wondering. Now, it was just like in math. If we had a formula, some people would take that formula, plug it in, work it out, get an answer, and take that answer and use it. My mind just doesn't work that way. I've got to break it down. Why did they take the square root? Why did they divide? Why did they take these numbers? So being at that point in the evening and in the way that I normally do things, I thought, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. What is that? I mean, what does that really mean? So I sat down and I got the computer out and started typing up some things, and I thought I'd share that. And then as I kind of got to the end, I thought, now, maybe by doing that, I'll have a better ownership of what this word is and what it means, how I can get it, and maybe even how I can expand on it. So these were the thoughts that I had whenever in thinking about Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is about thanking God. And before we can thank God, we must feel a blessing for which we can thank Him. If we're truly going to thank Him, we really need to feel something in our heart that we're thankful for. If we're not open to seeing and feeling that God works in our life, we'll miss the blessing and opportunities that God showers on us every day in our life. If we walk our life with an umbrella open, deflecting the showers that God blesses us, we will be unaware of God's interaction in our life. The first action we must take is to close our umbrella and open our heart and eyes to see how God works in our life. So many times we evaluate our life experiences without considering the possibility that God had a hand in what happens in our life. We can find so many reasons why things happen other than God had a hand in what happened. If we would just reason that only God's hand in our life could have brought us to this point. If we could just reason, or how many times have we come to a fork in the road where we choose God's will and we find a blessing on the road we travel? I can think of so many times in my life that a right choice blessed my life, and I didn't have to experience the problems of the world. I give thanks to God for leading my life away from hurts, habits, and hang-ups. That's not original. I got that from someplace, I don't remember. But it was good, and I thought it fit. It's only when I make the wrong choices that gives me hurts or bad habits or hang-ups. But making the wrong choice, the right choices, allows me to be thankful to God. Because I know that my choice is based upon my desires, can only lead me to a life which I'm not very proud of, and I wouldn't be very proud of. Being thankful to God is based upon the fact that I realize I cannot direct my life without putting God in the decisions that I make. Only then can I, with a thankful heart, humble myself before God and realize how much of a stabilizing factor He is in my life. Then I can understand what James said in the first chapter. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And I could then, once I kind of got to this point and can see how I can be thankful for God for the things that I have, the things that He's given to me, then I can see in the rest of it, just starts fingering out into the relationships. I was with a group of guys today in Nashville, and I knew that it was a blessing and I could be thankful because they were all Christians. And it was just a relationship that I could see and feel good and feel joy. And I know it was because we all believed in God. And I could be thankful for those types of relations as opposed to other relationships I've had in the past. And then you can carry this through thinking about your family. being thankful for God for the type of family and the Christian families that exist. And once you see God in place, then you can be thankful to God for these things. So we can look at so many areas in our life. And once we realize that God is a big factor in that, then I can sit back and be thankful for God and thankful to God for the things that he's given me. So, let's pray. Father, when we look around and see, particularly in today, this beautiful day, the beautiful flowers, and we start seeing how that you have blessed us in so many ways. Blessed us with life, blessed us with families, blessed us with relationships. Then, Father, we can come back to you and be thankful. Thankful to you for guiding us, for allowing these types of situations that the world does not provide, that the world does not give the kind of peace and comfort that we have. So, Father, I just pray for us and for this congregation that we can put God in it and that we can be thankful to you for what you can give us whenever you're present. Thanks, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, we have interrupted our normal Wednesday night schedule, haven't we? This is not normally what we do on Wednesday night for all of us to get together in here and dismiss classes, and that's because there's a reason for that. I guess we're in one of the sort of stinkiest situations that we've been in this church since I've been here. You know, might as well call it what it is. It's tough, and it's grievous, And actually, several of our sisters had suggested that we spend this evening in prayer together, so I want to thank them for that and thank them for their heart. I know there's been lots and lots and lots of prayer on everybody's knees, and I'm thankful for that. I thank you for your prayers. But that's why we're here tonight. I think to call it anything else would just be to call it, you know, like we're going on a fun trip to the zoo tonight, and we're not. But we are family, aren't we? We have some tough conversations at our house sometime, David. And I'm thankful that we can do that and come back to church together after those difficult conversations. So I'm just mindful of our family and as we continue to be here together. And we search for where God would have us to be and how he would have us to move forward together with him. And I think as David and Sid sort of work together to help us maybe pick some appropriate topics, this one is dear to my heart, and I think it has a whole lot to do, everything that we've done tonight. This one, for me, really touches my heart, and I'm going to read the scripture first here, and I think you'll see why it should touch, and I believe it does touch the hearts of all of us. We are all in the business of sharing the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with the people who don't know him, and also in the business of helping folks that do know him get to know him better. And so that's really what this is all about. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened up a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them, and I went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us, through me, through you, spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God, like men and women sent from God. You know, what we have done up until this day as a family here, we have been the aroma of Jesus Christ or something else to this community, consciously or unconsciously. So we are, aren't we? When I get up and go to work every day, I'm the aroma of something around the people that I serve and the people that I work with. When I come to church on Sunday, I'm the aroma of something when I walk in these doors. And I pray that it has a stronger smell about Jesus than it does about Tom, Joel. You know, the reality of where we stand today as a church, how we move forward from this day will be the aroma of something. You know, this community will be watching us to see how we work through what we're in right now. They'll be watching us close, and rightly so. I watch people close. Don't you watch people? I notice. I don't think any of us sort of walk around insulated and unobservant. But we have just an awesome opportunity to continue to be an aroma of Jesus to the people who are perishing and the people who are saved. My part of this, it just really calls to me, having been involved for the last couple of years in the Celebrate Recovery Ministry that Jerry made note to there about the hurts and habits and the hang-ups, has just really been a breath of fresh air to a lot of people in this church and a lot of people in this community, and I'm thankful to God for that. We don't need a program. We don't need a special ministry to do that, but as churches, we've chosen ministries and programs all over these years to organize and to reach out and to do the things that God calls us to do, and that's just one way. But it sure has touched my heart and touched my life. It has healed our marriage in so many ways, and I'm thankful for that. But we are the aroma of Jesus, and every decision we make, every step that we take, every move that we make, will amplify that aroma of Jesus or will diminish it. And I want to be aware of that, that everything I do makes a difference. Everything I do makes a difference in some way. As the body of Christ, what a wonderful chance we have to take difficulty and turn it into blessing, you know, to take struggle and turn it into victory. You know, the Lord's got our back covered. You know, we don't have to worry about that. We'll just go with Him. I want us to pray this time, and I'm going to just be silent here and just give you opportunity to be on your knees where you are, just to pray for the outreach of this congregation, the Forest Mill Church of Christ, and how God would show us that we can become more of an outreach to this community. The people that drive past this building every day, they take a look, and they notice, don't they? They take a look, and they notice, and they say, you know, I might check that out someday. What will they find? So I'd like for us to just pray in silence here for a time, and then I'll finish this up in prayer in just a few minutes. Lord, I'm certain that I do not spend enough time in silence before you and just eager to hear your voice and want to do that more. Dear Jesus, just in the silence, I'm able to hear your voice and may we all. Father, we are, all of us, concerned about those in this community that don't know your son, Jesus, that don't know you as their Lord and as their Savior. And Father, may that burn in our hearts, and may we hunger for them, may we hurt for them, may we long for them, that they might know you. Jesus, just the words that you spoke, may they see the love that we have for one another and know that we are yours. And that would be plenty of outreach. That would just be a bunch. And so we long for that, Father. May we all make ourselves useful in a way to you that we would be the aroma of Jesus to them, that we would be the aroma of Jesus to one another, that we would remind each other of your Son as we reach outside of ourselves. I think for me, that's what outreach is all about, is just reaching outside myself and putting myself away and just letting it be about you. As Paul finished up his words there, Father, I just want to be a man sent from you, not a man sent on on behalf of anyone else but a man sent from you and by you. And I think that's what we all want. I think we all want that, no doubt. But Father, I just pray for this body as we look as a body together, that how we can reach out to this community, reach out to these folks that drive by here every day that don't know you, and as it seems like every day that goes by that this world and this community is less godly every day. And may that stun me, Father. May it sober me. And may I not be so self-centered just to take your grace and your forgiveness and make it mine and not be willing to share it. May we just be committed to that. As a body, Father, we give you this prayer through Jesus. Amen.
This last section is the crux of what we are praying for this evening, is pull it all together, is to ask that we will be in God's will, that His will be done. Not us, not our willfulness, but His will. To have wisdom to discern His voice, and also wisdom to love one another in the way that will glorify Him. We do pray that God will defeat us where we are wrong, and that He will use us, even our failures, to glorify Him. And we do want to ask that together. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and we'll bow and invite Holy Spirit into your heart as we begin to pray. I would like to read some verses from Ephesians, beginning in chapter 3. And when I complete the reading, we will continue praying silently, and I will conclude us with prayer. Paul says, "Although I am less than the least of all God's people, His grace was given to me that I might preach the riches of Christ, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. And His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to rulers, to authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished through Christ our Lord. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that each of you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Be ye imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord, and have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled up with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Almighty God, you are worthy of all praise and honor. May you be sovereign in all that we do, Father. May we submit to your will in all things. May your Spirit reign in us and each one here. Father, may we, as our brother Dan urged, may we truly be students of your word. May we truly sink our roots down into your words and your teaching. May we know your heart in all we do. And we pray that you will guide our steps, no matter what they may be, Father. We pray that you will truly open doors and close doors, and may your will be done. Father, as we join our arms together in prayer tonight, I pray that each person here will know how precious and important they are. I pray that every older person here will know how precious and important they are. I pray that every young person here will know how incredibly precious they are, how they are all loved, how every person here will know that they are precious and important, not just to you, but to all of your body. For each one here is bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and we pray, Father, that that will be permanent in our minds. We pray that all we do will be covered in prayer, as we pray this evening has been. Father, I thank you for all who have prayed, for the hearts that have been lifted, for the tears that have been shed. Father, may we be changed by what you do in us, and may we be submitted to you. Father, all that happens, we know we want our hearts to be that you will be praised, you will be glorified, and we ask for that. Through the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for being here tonight. And please know that God's love is what reigns supreme. It's what I want to be tuned into. I think what each of us want to be tuned into and trying to understand his will for us, for this body, for the individual families, for the folks that are here and the folks that aren't here. And as we end our time together tonight, don't let your time of prayer come to a close, but let it continue as we seek his will individually and collectively. But let's close together.